Hymn 362. No. Sorry, Communion 490. Just open the hymnal. We're not going to sing it. And I'll just read it. You can follow along. Just the first verse. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descending comes. Full homage to demand. In the presence of great wisdom, keep silent. I thought today to do a brief summary of the church here thus far. How do we end up talking about a fellow named Thomas the Doubter? Just using John's gospel, and don't be afraid. Starting at the beginning of the church here, Christmas time. One of the best of the year, right? High feast days, we love it. In John's gospel, no Christmas story. No reference. Why? Because John is saying, if you want to understand what this faith is about, you have to go back before the beginning of the beginning. We have to go back before the beginning of time and the cosmos and the Big Bang. We're going back before to learn of that Word who was God, who was with God from before the beginning, in whom all things came into existence. This Word is the light and the life of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome. That Word became human flesh and blood. Stand in awe. Even if we don't get it, stand in awe. What an audacious claim to reality. First sort of preface, fun story in John's gospel. Next is the wedding at Cana. Abundant, overflowing love, celebration, joy, and good wine. Any objections? This is what it is to be in God's presence. What if that were the reputation of the Christian church? That's the place where they're already celebrating life. Instead, what we've got is God, the demonic account. How many sins this week, Arlene? Why doesn't she stop? No, God, the affirmation of life for all of us. Celebration, healing, blessing. And then the first pivotal story, the cleansing of the temple. Now, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's the last story before Holy Week and Jesus' death. John places that at the beginning. What? The cleansing of the temple is not only that sacred space, it's the symbol for the cleansing of the cosmos and all the contractual deals that people are constantly making with themselves, making money, whether it's off of religion or each other, and exploitation, is driven out. So that, friends, as you read the entire Gospel of John this week, remember that all the stories you are reading are that cleansing, that clearing out of Jesus going on and on in every situation, clearing it out to make everything new. Then, three stories from Lent, woman at the well. Jesus says, if you only knew who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask me for a drink of that living water. Always the hidden inner connection, the inner spring, the inner fountain. Having our hearts focus on that is what the gospel's about. Then with a blind man, the authorities say, who gave you sight? He says, I don't know. I wish I could see him. Jesus saw him. Later, the blind man now went looking to see and search, find Jesus, that inner connection. And finally, Lazarus, whom Jesus goes to raise from the dead, but when he arrives, Jesus, as the text says, spills his guts in grief. Does that sound like some sort of passive master, spirituality, who isn't affected by anything? I'm now free of it all. Watch me walk. Spills his guts, that's what the text says. It breaks him. The loss of his friend. And as he brings him out of the tomb, Jesus is yanked into the tomb. That's the price he pays. Because the authorities said after that, no more, this guy will not continue. And they made plans to kill him. That's a pretty heavy price to pay, don't you think? Holy Week comes along, crucifixion. This is the crucifixion of innocent suffering. And that is the most baffling experience for us human beings. The children in the border still in cages. All these years later, they're still there. Their lives demolished. Women in Iran, people of Afghanistan, people in Ukraine, around the world. Our own impoverished citizens who can't get health care in this country. Congratulations, I learned again this week, we're now 40th in mortality rate in the world. The most prominent, exceptional nation in the history of humankind. And we're 40th in the mortality rate. We're so good. It's time to clean house. Innocent. Reason it undoes us. In the Orthodox Church, they sing this song, a troparion. Christ has trampled down death by death. That's the celebration of Easter morning. Death itself has been trampled down. Resurrecting love is to fill our lives and universe. That requires opening a lot of space in our own hearts, doesn't it? Disciples didn't get it. Easter evening, behind locked doors, terrified, Jesus shows up, breathes on them, as God first breathed life into Adam and Eve, and says, peace. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. He breathes on them a second time and says, peace be with you. There is no way to peace. Christ wants to inhabit us.
Us.
And that's the most difficult thing about the faith.
Us.
Well, Thomas wasn't there. He says, you're not going to make me believe that until I see the real deal and touch his hands and his side. Better prove it to me. Now, Thomas has gotten a bad reputation for being the doubter. It's not all bad. Too often, doubt in our time, though, means sophistication. I don't believe anything. Go ahead. Tell me something. I'll undermine it. Just like that. And that's what doubt has become. We live in sight. It's fierce. It blocks wisdom. It doesn't give life. It doesn't give energy. True doubt, noble doubt it's called, is like gold in a refiner's fire. That furnace burning away is burning all the dross away so that the gold can become more brilliant and true to its character. That's doubt. It encourages the best. That's not where we live. We call it cynicism. That's what all hip people are about today, don't you think? And cynicism is not intelligence. It's the gameplay, it's replacement for it, right? But it's robbing us of true energy for the discovery of life and truth. It's so strong these days, it's making the case that there is no truth. There's only alternate truth. You can make up whatever you want. There's no truth. Wow. What an appalling time we live in, friends. So instead of always doubting other people, and doubting especially the teachings of spiritual wisdom, why don't we doubt ourselves this week? I don't mean put yourselves down. Or to be crystal clear, try doubting your own doubts. Who does that? My doubts are the most real thing about me, right? They give me stance and position and status. Clearly, you don't know anything. Because I know more than you do. Ha, 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 Meredith. The arrogance and the poverty of our spirit. Just doubt your own doubts. See what that does to you. Well, Jesus shows up. Thomas is there. Hands in mine and side. And Thomas says, no need. Jesus is a marked man for the rest of eternity. He bears those signs of compassion into infinity. In the Greek, it says that Jesus is still on the cross. Still on the cross until everyone is healed and blessed and forgiven and mercified, made whole and real again. We get to, in our acts of compassion, help take Jesus off the cross. Let's pick up the speed. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus.